As Yaakov Avinu realizes that the end is near, he calls his children to his bedside and he instructs them, "Hey asfu ve'agida lachem es asher yikra eschem ba'achris hayamim. Come together, assemble together, and I will tell you what will happen to you in the end of days." Yaakov then reiterates this message. "Hikavtzu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov. Gather together, come listen to your father." The Medrash is intrigued by the apparent redundancy of Yaakov's invitation. After all, first he says, "Hey asvu," and then, immediately thereafter, he repeats, "Hikavtzu," both of which mean essentially the same thing. Gather or assemble. The Medrash therefore assumes that there must be an additional, deeper message embedded in Yaakov's invitation. Among the various suggestions offered by the Medrash, the final opinion is that Tziva Osan al Hamachlokes. Yaakov instructed them to avoid machlokes, bitter, needless infighting, and he reminded them, Kulchon Asifa Achas, you shall all be one group. It's no secret, and it certainly was no secret to Yaakov, that the relationship between the brothers had often been strained, to put it mildly. Now, shortly before his death, Yaakov calls his children together and speaks to them as a loving father, saying, "Please, Kinderlach, no more fighting. Come together and unite." Of course, Yaakov wasn't just talking as a father and wasn't just speaking to his children. He was also talking as a forefather to all of his descendants, and his message was eternally relevant. Avoid the self-destruction that inevitably comes with machlokas. And yet, given this backdrop and the understanding of why Yaakov called his children to his deathbed, the content of what he told them, the actual blessings, seems to belie that very goal. After all, if the purpose was to increase achdus and decrease antipathy, then wouldn't it have made more sense to give the very same blessing to all of the children, or perhaps one general bracha to the entire group? Instead, not only did Yaakov give each of the brothers a different bracha, blessing, but some of them got what appeared to be much more positive and complementary brachas than others received. Rather than inspiring harmony and brotherly love, it appears as if the blessings, the brachos, will create jealousy and more enmity. Why did Yaakov do this? And how does this further the goal of Tziva Osan al Hamachlokes? Avraham Lichtenstein suggests that perhaps the answer to this question lies in the Torah's summary statement. After Yaakov finished all of the brachos, Vayavarach Osam, and he blessed them, Ish Asher Kivirchoso, Beirach Osam. Each according to his blessing, he blessed them. This pasuk is also confusing in that it not only is redundant, but it shifts between plural, Osam, and singular, Kivirchoso. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains that the phrase, Ish Asher Kivirchoso, Beirach Osam, each according to his blessing, means Haraui lo kifi b'chinas neshmasa u'kifi ma'asov, that the brachos were perfectly calibrated and consistent with the recipient's innermost, true spiritual characteristics and unique talents and abilities. The Rachaim explains that Yaakov didn't give the same bracha to all of his children because a true blessing is one which enables a person to actualize his or her unique talents. And therefore, by definition, each of the children had to receive a different bracha, each suited for his respective talents and personalities. Despite this highly individualized approach that Yaakov took to the brachos, the pasuk nevertheless concludes Beirach Osam in the plural to highlight the mutual interdependence of the brachos and the ultimate unity of purpose embodied by the brachos as a whole. The Or HaChaim explains that because the brothers are guided by a common goal, because they are on the same team, when any one of them succeeds, in reality the entire family benefits. Each brother has an area of expertise, and the Jewish people needs the collective talents of all of the Shvatim. The greatest success for the collective group comes when each constituent part succeeds in their area of unique focus. Ad kan, the words of the Or HaChaim. In light of this interpretation, Rav Lichtenstein then explained that we can now gain a deeper understanding of the achdus that Yaakov was striving for when he gathered all of the brothers together around his deathbed. Yaakov gave them different brachos because he recognized and he embraced their differences. The achdus of the brothers was not unanimity, but rather a diversity of personality with a unity of purpose. It's where the distinctive parts work together for the good of the whole, each contributing something unique rather than merely duplicating the contribution of others. Yaakov's final blessing to his children has been a difficult and often elusive message for his descendants to embrace. Throughout the generations, most notably in the time of the second Churban, the Jewish people have continued to suffer and be plagued by sinas chinam, divisiveness, and machlokas. And as hard as it is, it's equally important that we do not stop striving for this goal. Even while we fall short, we cannot give up on the goal. If we truly internalize the fact that we are all kuchan asifa achas, in the words of the Medrash, then we can begin to appreciate and not demonize each other's differences. And in turn, then, and only then, will we be worthy heirs to all of Yaakov's brachos.